Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed, and he sits at the right hand of the Father in glory, and he intercedes for us. He intercedes for you and me. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in today's gospel reading, is speaking to his disciples before he is betrayed in Gethsemane and handed over to his enemies to be abused and tortured and crucified. He is speaking to them right now about prayer. And in just a few verses following the end of today's gospel reading, he will offer his high priestly prayer to the Father on behalf of his disciples, on behalf of those who will believe after hearing the disciples' message, indeed on behalf of his entire Christian church. Jesus speaks to us of prayer. And prayer is not merely a privilege by which God, our Heavenly Father, allows us to come to him with our petitions and intercessions. It is also a commandment. Our Lord Jesus Christ commands us to pray. What should we pray for? Well, in today's epistle reading, Paul gives some clue as to what the content of our prayers should be. First of all, then, Paul writes, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we in the church, we the Holy Christian Church, may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. There's a command, but there is also a promise attached. This is good. This is good in God's eyes, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So there is listed some of the things that our prayers should concern. What we should pray for. We can pray and should pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in need, who are going through struggles of any kind. We can and should pray for the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God. We can pray for ourselves, our own bodily needs, our own physical needs, needs of any kind. But what Jesus tells us, and here is a wonderful promise. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask in my name, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So here we have some further information, further instruction. We, the Holy Christian Church, are to pray in the name of Jesus. Why is that? Why the name of Jesus? Well, today's epistle says there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, one go-between, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all. We approach God only through Jesus Christ. He is the way to the Father. He is the way to God. It is through Jesus Christ that we have gained access into this grace in which we now stand. And it is solely through Jesus Christ that you and I have been named children of God, and that he has made himself known to us as our true Father. The Catechism explains the introduction to the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, this way. With these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that He is our true Father and that we are His true children, so that with all boldness and confidence we may ask Him as dear children ask their dear Father. And the second commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, instructs us that we should fear and love God so that we don't curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie, or deceive by His name, but rather call upon His name in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. The triune God has placed His name upon you in holy baptism, the name that you wear as a Christian, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You have been marked with the sign of the cross and the name of Jesus in holy baptism to identify you as the one who has benefited from the ransom of which He gave on the cross, the ransom of Himself for your salvation. Now, the Christian never prays alone. You may be alone in your car, on your back porch, in your sunroom, in the shower when you pray, but you as a Christian, you as a member of the Holy Christian Church, always pray in concert with the church of every age and place and time. The Christian never prays alone because you are a member of the body of Christ. And when you pray, it is, you could say, the entire body of Christ that prays with you. When Jesus speaks to the disciples in today's gospel reading, when He says, "You will ask nothing of Me, truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in My name, He will give it to you," He is not speaking to the disciples individually. This is the "you" that is the second person plural. Here in the South, we could say, put it this way, "In that day, y'all will ask nothing of Me. Truly, truly, I say to y'all, whatever y'all ask of the Father in My name, He will give it to y'all. Until now, y'all have asked nothing in My name. Ask and y'all will receive, that y'all's joy may be full." I don't mean to trivialize that, but the "you" here encompasses the disciples. The "you" here encompasses all of us. The "you" here encompasses the church of every time and every place. The church redeemed by Christ Jesus. The church put into a special relationship by the redemption of Christ, where we are privileged to address God as our Heavenly Father, and He looks upon us as His dear beloved children for the sake of Jesus. Now, when we pray, there are several things involved in that prayer. First, we have a promise from God. And here is the promise from Jesus, spoken by Jesus. "Whatever you ask of the Father in My name, He will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in My name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be full." Now, the name of Jesus is not some talisman. It's not some magical, mystical formula that we tack on to the end of our prayer in the hope of manipulating God and getting Him to give us what we want. No, not at all. To pray in the name of Jesus is to pray with Jesus, who prayed for His church. It's to pray through Jesus. It's to pray trusting in Jesus as the one mediator between God and men. The mediator who has reconciled you to God through the forgiveness of all of your sins. And it is on account of that forgiveness that you are able to approach God in prayer in the first place. To pray in Jesus' name is to pray in a way that is not selfish, in a way that is not frivolous. You don't pray, "Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz?" You don't pray, "Lord, I'm 5'7" tall, but I would really like to be 6 feet tall." You don't pray that. You pray for spiritual blessings for yourself and for others, and you pray for your earthly needs. As, again, the Catechism instructs us in the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. "Give us today, this day, our daily bread." And it names what daily bread includes, everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, and then it goes on to list them. I won't list all those things because you know what they mean. We do not pray frivolously. We do not pray that God would help us to win the lottery, or that God would help us to strike gold or make a killing in the stock market. Whatever we do, we entrust to the Lord, who is wise and good and gracious, and who gives to us exactly what we need. So, that's what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. Also, we pray in faith. Jesus says, "What father among you whose son asks him for a stone would give him a serpent?" Or no, that's not it. "Who asks for a loaf of bread would give him a stone, or who asks for an egg would give him a scorpion. If you, being evil as you are, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more so your Father in heaven knows to give good gifts to you and will give you the Holy Spirit." We pray seriously before God. We come to Him knowing that He hears us for Jesus' sake, and believing that hearing us, He will answer our prayer. Again, this isn't the, "Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz" kind of prayer. It's not even the, "Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Yugo" kind of prayer. It's a prayer that we offer to God, knowing His great love for us, trusting in His perfect wisdom and His good will for us. And ultimately, it's to pray that we will persevere in the faith, that we will remain true to Christ and our confession of His name. Yes, we do pray for those in need. We do pray for the sick. If I were diagnosed with cancer this next week, I would pray for healing, but I would trust in God to answer that prayer as He knows to be best. If He chooses to heal me in this world, glory be to God. If He chooses to heal me by calling me to Himself and making me new in heaven, where I will be forever free of disease and pain and struggle of any kind, then glory be to His name as well. We pray according to the Word of God, for the Word of God shows us the things for which we should pray. Again, when Paul writes that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that gives us an idea of what we should pray for. And think about it this way. If Christians do not pray, if we do not fulfill our vocation of prayer, then who will? The non-believer? Will the stones out in the field pray for the world and its needs? Will the birds of the air pray for the world and its needs? They glorify God by their very existence, but we can't say that they would pray. It is your vocation as a Christian to pray. It is your privilege as one who has been redeemed by Christ and who is now a member of the Holy Trinity's family to pray. Sometimes prayer can be difficult. I know that. I struggle with that. But prayer need not be any elaborate thing. We can pray for someone. Lord, remember in your mercy John and his needs. In your mercy, remember John's family. Provide for them, uphold them, give them comfort. Luther says a prayer can be a quick, Lord, have mercy, or help me, Lord. The thing is, even before we speak the prayer, our Heavenly Father knows our needs. And it is our privilege to come to Him as dear children come to their father. When my brother was just a toddler, infant, learning how to walk and to talk, he would say gaga when he wanted water. And my dad would slap him around and say, it's water! Water, say water, and then you'll get your gaga. No. God is not impressed by the beautiful prayers that we pray. God listens to the prayer offered in faith. And when my brother said gaga to my mom or my dad, he knew that they would give him the water he wanted. It's a good thing he didn't ask me. He was a pest. So don't hesitate to pray because you think you don't have the adequate words to say. Your Heavenly Father knows your needs even before you ask. You are in Christ. And the prayers you offer, no matter how simple they may be, offered in Jesus' name, offered trusting in Jesus, are certainly heard by your Father in heaven. Now, He will answer those prayers in the way He knows to be best, but He certainly hears those prayers. This is why we pray, Thy will be done. For certain things. When you say, pray, Heavenly Father, please forgive me my sins, you don't need to add, Thy will be done to that. His will has been done. He gave Jesus as your Savior who took your sins away. Yeah, for earthly needs, it's okay to say, Thy will be done. It's okay to pray for an automobile. Just don't say, Lord, I really want a Rolls Royce. Pray for your earthly needs. Pray for the needs of this body of Christ. Pray for the needs of the whole Christian church. Pray for those in government. Pray for our military. Name them before God in your heart or in your mind or with your lips. And knowing that, as Jesus says, Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Even in suffering, he hears you. And Jesus tells us, in this world you will have tribulation. All the more reason to pray. But we pray with this confidence that Christ has overcome the world. And because he has done so, we are forgiven, we are made children of God, and we have the assurance that our Heavenly Father hears our prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord.
Amen.